Shabbat Shalom. In this week portion, Parashat Re'eh, we continue Moses' message to the people. In the last weeks, it was a big message about the covenant, big words that describes the ongoing covenant between the people of Israel and Hashem. Now we're going to go into the details, what to do and what not to do in the process. We're going to go into different levels. There's going to be things that are going to be more public. There are going to be things that are going to connect to the land. They're going to be connected to the society. And then we're going to go into the rituals of the ordinary people, the day-to-day, the one and its friends. One of the interesting phenomena that we're going to read about this weekly portion that's going to shout out if you're going to read the portion is that we're going to read about 15, 16, 17 times something along the lines of the place that God chose. In the commands that we're going to talk about this week in the land, there's going to be a lot of idol worshiping. And when you enter the land, do not do like what they are doing. You need to destroy every altar. You need to focus in one place. You need to go to the place that God chose. The place that God chose, the place that God chose over and over again. And the question, of course, in my end, when you read all those repetitions, you need to ask, say the place. Well, where exactly are you talking about? It's Jerusalem. It's the Temple Mount. It's Har Moriah. It's the Holy Bet Mikdash. What's the place? Why are you only using the terminology of the place that God will choose? Before entering this, maybe we'll try to face this question, famous question, from a different angle. On chapter 14, verse 1, there's a saying, Banim atem la'Hashem, you are like children to God, lo tidgodedu ve'lo tasimu kocha. You wouldn't mourn until you're going to bleed. That's the explanation. I'm going to say it in the way we understand it. And you don't put kocha, being bald, in your hair. What is it talking about? It talks about the mourning period. You know, there's many tribes around the world, maybe cultures, that when somebody loses a loved one, is going through this mourning period, in the burial period, that is a very traumatic, dramatic event. He's scratching his skin until he bleeds. He tears his hair from the place till he has these bald places. He's going into this ritual, this dramatic rituals, to show the big loss. How much he lost, how much he's sad, how much he's despaired. And obviously, he's not showing it. He's really performing an act that talks about what he feels inside. When you're losing a loved one, when you're losing somebody who's close to you, it feels like the end of the world. It's the end of the world for him, obviously, for her. You're going to bury her in the ground, a loved one. She's never going to live with you. And it's a big loss for you as well. You're not going to see him. You're not going to see her. I can tell you that a year and a half ago, I went through this mourning period with my father. The command says, though, Banim atem la'Hashem, you're like children to God. Don't do those rituals and act like those tribes. Don't tear your skin until it bleeds. Don't tear your hair. Show mourning. Show respect. Show you're sad. In Judaism, before the grave, you even tear clothes, showing of mourning. But not more than that. Banim atem la'Hashem, you're like children to God. What's the connection between the beginning and the end? Because you're like children of God, you shouldn't mourn that? Of course, the deeper understanding is very clear. You're like children to God. You know how much God loves you. You know how much God gives to you. You know how much God cares for you. And you know the deepest truth, that what you see here in front of you, that's not everything. We are promised, and we know that there is a world to come. And in the world to come, after a person finishes his life in 120 years, God willing, there's going to be a complete different world where his spirit, where his soul is going to live. It's going to strive. It's going to do whatever it does. We don't know. Nobody came back to tell us. But we believe that this is not the end. And we believe that there is a continuation to the soul. Therefore, even in the darkest time, when you're losing somebody, when it's a mourning period, when really it's so very sad and it looks like the end, it is not the end. Therefore, you need to stand still and try to control yourself. Don't be like those tribes. Don't show your mourning like it's the end of the world with the skin ripped and the blood. Tear your hair because you believe that there's more than that. You believe that there's something more than what the eyes can see. I'm going to go back to the first question we asked about the place that God chose. Why does it not say the exact same place, the exact place? Maimonides gives us three famous answers, and all the commentaries quote him because you need to quote the Maimonides. And he said that the Torah didn't give us the exact place for three reasons. Number one, if you're going to reveal the exact place, the nation will want it as well, and they will fight for it. Number two, even if they won't fight for it, or if they will fight for it, they will destroy it anyway, just for you not to have it. And the third element is that when this situation will happen, and they will know this is Jerusalem, the holy place, they will make a fight among the tribes of Israel, because every tribe would love it to be in its land, in its area. Therefore, the Torah doesn't describe specifically where is that place. But I want to say that there's another explanation, maybe a deeper explanation, that gives you the inner power. The verses in this week portion talks about the desire to build a temple. When you will want to build a temple, God will show you the way. This inner desire, it's something that makes people drawn into things. In this summertime when I was traveling, I saw a movie about a British broker during World War II. A simple guy, Winton. And he went to Prague for a business meeting and he saw the Jewish refugees of that time. It touches his heart and he dedicates his couple of weeks and months during the war, the beginning of the war, until he tries to make as many children leave Prague. His mother and his friends come to him and say, "What are you doing? It? Why are you jeopardizing your life? It's a risky place." He says, "You know what? I wish I wouldn't see it. But now that I saw it, I cannot unsee it. I am so devoted into this mission. I am already part of it. Now I have the desire to do more. I have the need to do more." I want to say that the desire to build a temple is exactly the desire and the point of the descriptions of understanding that there's more than what you see. God is promising us, there will be a place that I will choose for you, but it needs to come from you. When you will desire, when you will find a place in your heart, and you will choose to fight for that place, this is when I will reveal this place for you. When something is being chosen for you, more than that, is that you need to leave your comfort zone, you need to leave your home, you need to live your quiet, serenity life, and you need to go into a place. Sometimes it's not going to be easy. This decision making by God is a common theme in the book of Numbers. We talked about it many times. Every time we see when the people question God, and once again, God is making the decision. In the holy place, in the place that He will choose, once again we meet it. How God will choose the exact place and the exact time from your desire. From your desire and your fulfillment and your heart and your prayers, I will show you that place. I will bring you to that place. And that place is going to be the place for you. You will see that there's more than what the eyes can see. Shabbat Shalom.